Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us now, as he does every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, is Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. What's up, Baldy?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. It's good to be with you.
What up, Baldy?
Quick question here. Let's say, you know, this show, me, Jack, Ike, we need to go to break at a certain time. And we go to break about 3 minutes later when we're supposed to because Jack won't shut up. Is that my fault for not shutting him up or his fault for not shutting up?
We got to be more disciplined than that. You got bills to pay. You need your breaks. I mean, somebody's got to cut them off.
That's on me.
Discipline. You should be a fine jar. You should be a fine jar right there, you know, in front of the mics. And that's what you do. You take money out of the pockets. And pretty soon they stop talking. Pretty soon,
fine jar. This guy won't even give his close friends more than $100 at a wedding
right
for a gift.
Check. He's not right out of the check.
Yeah,
I take it right out of the check.
I didn't know inflation got to wedding gifts. That's not on me.
So, Baldy, a lot of talk this week about defensive line not getting home or pressuring Cousins. You know, we had the issue in week one, but there was the whole field thing. But then we had it again in week two. What are you seeing there with them not having any success getting to the quarterback?
Well, they're, just in the last play, I mean, you got two guys that are laid off the ball. I mean, it starts with the snap and getting off on the snap. I mean, your left end and your left defensive tackle are still in their stance when the ball's in Kirk Cousins' hands. Like, that's not good. But, you know, you have to – like, Jalen Carter, when he's out there, he's generally going to get most of the double teams, most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time. That means if they're just blocking with five, like Atlanta was, you've got three guys with a one-on-one, and nobody's winning. I mean, in two games, they have – one sack from their defensive line, Milton Williams. They're not getting to the quarterback. They're not affecting the quarterback. But it really starts with winning one-on-ones, honestly. Like, everybody works on it every day. Your moves, what are you going to do? How are you going to beat these guys? Bryce has been invisible. Jalen has not looked like he did the first 12 games last year. I mean, I'd go through the whole lineup. So, they're just not winning one-on-ones up front right now.
Would you, Baldy, consider with Bryce Huff just putting him in a role that I guess that he's played the majority of his career? In other words, just make him a situational sort of pass rusher, bringing him in on passing downs. I'm wondering if that would sort of get him going. I'm just not sure how much he's committed to mentally and physically playing early on downs and run stopping downs. What would you do with him to sort of get him going?
I'm with you. I know the Jets pretty good. He was a situational pass rusher there. I think he played 48% of the snaps. He's playing about that same amount now.
Yep.
He's not playing more than 50%. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you, Ike. Like, he was a pure situational pass rusher. Now, in New York, at least last year for sure, they had Jermaine. They had Quinnen. They had John, they had guys that could win. And so he was a benefactor. Even in the game where he played really well against the Eagles, he started playing well when Lane Johnson went out of the game, a lot of his sacks came because other guys were flushing the quarterback and he cleaned up. He has a good takeoff, but I'm with you. I think that when he's out there and he's playing the run and they're attacking him like that, it might be affecting him on third downs and passing downs where, he might be able to get in that wide nine and just, come off the edge the way he used to. But I wouldn't be opposed. I mean, You don't want to pay a guy $51 million to be a situational pass
right.
rush, right?
Yeah.
But you know, you also got to win games, too. So you can't worry about the check. And I'm kind of with you on that one.
Now, pass rush is one of our issues, Baldy. But you know, as a former O-lineman yourself, and me even being a linebacker and playing at times, you got to be able to stop the run. And it seems right now that for 2 weeks, Green Bay, Atlanta has been able to run against this Eagle front. What aren't we doing from a front standpoint, whether it's the D-line with linebackers or vice versa, that we aren't doing better against the run?
Let me ask you a question, Ike. Why would any alignment on any defense have your two tackles line up in a two technique? Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you be in shades? Why wouldn't you be in a one and a three?
Yeah.
Why, because, you know, like Zach Bond is their best linebacker by far. But if you're allowing the backside guard just to cut him because he's just got a free release, and then the tackle can just cut off your two-technique defensive tackle. Like, if he's in a one-technique, that guard can't get through to Zach Bond. All right, that's one part. The alignment looks stupid to me. All right? Then the other part is, like, every defense is a gap defense, right? Right? I mean, you play with Trout. I mean, Trout was an A-gap player.
Yep.
He blew up the A-gap. He brought the axe and he blew up the A-gap. Then somebody was in the B-gap. Doc was probably in the C-gap. I mean, you just go through. Every good defense is a gap defense. Well, the Eagles are clueless right now. And there's a reason why they're giving up 6.4 yards a carry. And they've given up 14 runs of 8 yards or more. Like, their gaps are terrible. Now, That's the lineman, the lack of gap integrity, and then the tackling is atrocious. So you combine all those things, and you're the worst run defense in football. Mm. Oh, and then, by the way, if you're going to play whatever style that is, like, it'd be good if you got off blocks and didn't stay blocked.
Yeah.
So there's four bad things through the first two games right now that are, I don't know, like, it's frustrating to watch, but it's eye-popping. And I'll bet every single team in this league, including these Saints, are looking at this going, when are they going to get this fixed?
Baldy, from a the question is it a talent issue? You know, do you
or is that the scheme?
Yeah, or is it the scheme? When you are watching them, does this feel like something to you that is salvageable this season with the personnel they have currently?
I believe that every defense can be a good run defense. Like, I watch the Bears. They don't have great star players. I mean, T.J. Edwards is still the Eagles' best linebacker, period. But they play, like, it looked like, you know, Monty Kiffin's system with Sapp and Lynch and Derek Brooks. I mean, they're in every gap. And Joe Mixon went from, you know, running for 160 yards against the Colts. He couldn't get 2 yards a carry against the Bears. Like, it's just, I mean, just play gap defense. Like, it's not that hard, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Jordan Davis, you're in the A gap. All right? All right, here comes Josh Sweat. You're in the B gap. All right, here comes N'Kobe Dean. You're in the C-gap. All right, somebody set the edge and let's squeeze it. Squeeze it hard, squeeze it fast, and don't give them any daylight. Like, to me, like, put blindfolds on you on Wednesday and walk through it. Like, you should be able to hit your gaps. It's just not that hard.
Got to coach them up.
Yeah. Do you want to do it? You want to do the job? We need somebody because we're going to lose our minds actually watching them. The fact that they only gave up 22 points on Monday
night is actually amazing.
It's stunning. I don't even know how it happened, to be honest with you. So, Baldy, to the other side of the ball, they haven't been able. We thought this would be a game when we were talking before the game. Okay, with A.J. Brown out, we're going to see Dallas Goedert featured a little bit more. And he ended up, I think, with 3 catches, 4 targets, fewer than Britton Covey. Why do you think the Eagles have been unable, not just this year, by the way, of utilizing Dallas Goedert as much as you would think they could?
They don't look like they're really looking for him. I mean, he's got the 7 catches, but, you know, he's always been always been excellent after the catch. I mean, you could just start with just running Y stick, you know, and just getting your offense started on first down. I mean, the run game is good, but, I mean, you could just run Y stick with Goedert. And you got 6 yards, and if he breaks a tackle, he's got a first down. You could start with those basic plays. You know, it doesn't look like they're featuring him anyway, you know, in any kind of shallow crosses or any deep overs. I mean, he's a good route runner or anything down the seam. It doesn't look like they're calling his number to do any of those kind of things right now.
it actually doesn't, you know, they don't seem like they throw in the middle of the field very much. And they didn't do it last year. And I think everyone assumed that with a new coordinator in there that we would see more of that. But so far in two games, we just haven't seen very much of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jalen, he likes to get a real good look at what he's throwing at. He's a little bit more inclined, even with good pockets, to bail. And, buy some time. He was a little bit better in the pocket. You know, the throw to Devontae for a touchdown, even the one he should have caught for a touchdown. He stayed there in the pocket and, you know, hit his open receiver. I do think there is, like, some great offenses, that's where they want. You know, greatest show on turf. You know, the Rams, I mean, all they do is attack the middle of the field. The 49ers, all they do is attack the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like that's what they're trying to do. It doesn't help that AJ's out, the one guy that is a real threat in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Devontae is a great route runner. He's a tough kid. He's not the biggest guy to be able to go over the middle the way, you know, you want to feature guys.
How did you like the offensive game plan Monday night? I know they got the news with AJ late in the week, and I don't know how much they had to change versus what they were anticipating. But how did you like the offense Kellen Moore ran Monday night?
They ran the ball. I mean, I thought they should have still run it. If they finished the game with a minute and 48 to go on third and three, I mean, whether Saquon catches it, or, I mean, I prefer them to run the ball. Mm-hmm. They ran the same three plays with Makai pulling on just a trap play inside for, you know, 16 yards on three runs, you know, in a row. I wouldn't have mind dialing up a fourth run and taking 45 seconds off the clock and giving, you know, Kirk less time to work with. But I thought they ran the ball at times really, really well. They've got – it's the best line Saquon's ever seen, his best, biggest holes. I thought that was a good part of it. I would have liked to see, honestly, Ike, as well as they were running it, I know they've got two great safeties, mm-hmm. Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates. They've got 51 career interceptions between the two of them. I understand that they're very veteran, talented players. But I would like to see some play action off that run game, Ike.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to commit to stopping that. And usually that opens things up off the play action, and we didn't really see any of that.
Well, you know, one of the things that makes that easier is if the quarterback is under center. And,
true,
you know,
no doubt.
And Jalen hasn't, I think they did it three or four snaps in the first game when it wasn't tush push. And that, just thinking back to Monday night, I honestly can't even remember him being under center. So I think that probably limits their ability to do that.
They were in pistol. I mean, it's kind of a new formation for the Eagles. And it's a good. Nobody used the pistol formation more than the Miami Dolphins last year. They're the number one offense in football. And Tua was excellent at play action off of those run fakes and doing a lot of things from the pocket. I don't see that from the Eagles now. I'm not saying that package isn't in, but you can still run some play action out of the pistol formation, especially if you got a great back there.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of debate. You just told us that you would have liked to see him run on that third down play. I totally understand that there. What did you think about the fourth down decision to kick the field goal there? Some people think, Nick should have gone for it on fourth down. Some people were okay with the field goal. What'd you think?
Well, here's the thing. If you run it on third and three, okay, and I don't have a look, they scored a touchdown basically on that same play.
Mm-hmm.
Take one, he just got touchdown at the 6-inch line. But I understand that call. But if you want to run it, and let's just say you run the same play with Makai pulling and Calcaterra leading, and you run that counter up the middle or, you know, a little bit to the outsider. Let's just say you gain two, and now you're faced with fourth and one. You know what Nick's going to call.
Tush push.
That situation.
Yep.
You're just going to, you know, like you finish the game with a tush push. The game's going to be over. You know, I mean, the confetti's going to fall. So, I believed in that call. When I was watching the game, Mike, and I'm watching it, and I'm got the analyst hat on, I'm going, the enemy is the clock. The enemy is the time, Atlanta Falcons. And if you take 45 seconds off and then kick the field goal still, you're up six. Like, you think about the first two plays that the Falcons ran. They ran a drive starter to Kyle Pitts, inbounds for 11 yards. The clock kept running. The next play was, you know, the kid's a rookie, Quinion. He's got to squeeze that play.
Yeah.
But Darnell Mooney does not go out of bounds, Ike.
Yep.
He stays, for some stupid reason, he stays inbounds. Like, if you start the drive with 55 seconds and you run those two plays, you're going to be down to 10 seconds left in a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you're just not going to have time. And so, you know, maybe they take a deep shot, but they're not going to be able to throw two more passes and a touchdown to Drake. You're not going to be in that situation. You leave them a minute and 42 seconds, it's just too much time on the clock.
Yeah.
All right, Baldy. Well, we're miserable this week, so hopefully the Saints don't score 75 points on us on Sunday, because I don't know if I could do this two straight weeks.
Well, they scored 91 in two games.
Yeah.
So, you know, they feel pretty good about themselves. So
yeah.
If the Eagles are going to, if the Eagles are going to shut and quiet things down, it's a good place to go and win. You know, Ike knows better than anybody. You go down to New Orleans to win, it's an eerie place when that crowd gets quiet.
Yeah.
So, I've been down there in the playoff game. It's fun to win down there. And you can cure a whole lot of these ails that everybody's talking about right now by going down and beating a really good team.
Mm-hmm. Well, easier said than done, my friend. Easier said than done.
No doubt.
All right,
no doubt.
Baldy. Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Okay. You bet, man.
There he is, Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast, our Odyssey NFL Insider, Baldy. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
I think won one time in New Orleans.
Oh, really?
I think so. 2001.
Elliot said to him it was the most intimidating place as far as a visiting stadium, the loudest place.
As a journalist?
Yeah, he's soft as cotton, so yeah, I'm sure it was intimidating
to
him.
Well, it's all relative,
I guess. A lot of brothers and sisters down there. Yeah. Elliot probably know what the hell to
do.
Well, I'm just saying he's intimidating. It's not like he was actually playing.
No, I think he was saying it was loud. Man.
Wow.
Hey, the bayou is tough, man.
Yeah, you're pulling.
Believe me, I'm scared.
Pulling a Kanye on Elliot here.
I rode through the Fifth Ward. It wasn't pretty.
You
man.
Don't think Elliot did?
No. But listen, we did it after the Katrina stuff.
Oh, really?
So the first year, we beat them down there in 2001. I think Brian Mitchell returned a punt or either a kickoff return.
Was Aaron Brooks the quarterback?
I think so. I think he was. I think Aaron Brooks was the quarterback. And then when I played him when I was in Atlanta.
Oh, what happened then?
We should be quiet. The first year, we played them in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
The Alamo Dome. Because Superdome wasn't open yet. Then I don't know what happened the following year when they reopened the Superdome.
No one remembers. Yep. Made the most notable play of the 2010s. Yep.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened in that instance down there. Yeah, it's a statue out there that sort of reminds everybody of what happened
that night. Yeah.
By the way, before we...
Spike has no idea what we're talking about.
Before we move
He's
on
He's not even
here,
listening right now.
No, you sent me something, and I'm looking at it. While you guys were...
No, don't tick him off now.
Yeah, well...
Wondering how long I can extend this until we go to break.
No, I always try to make sure we do it on time when we have a guest. And Chatty Cathy over there is yammering away.
We were cooking.
What you got, big dog?
I'd like the quote from Sherrill Parker about the arena is, quote, the best financial deal ever entered into by a Philadelphia mayor for local sports arena.
She said that herself?
Yes.
Oh, she's tooting her own horn.
Wow.
Okay. She's proud of this deal.
Yeah, $1.5 billion.
From the Sixers in a statement, we are grateful to Mayor Parker and her team for their time and diligence in evaluating our proposal and look forward to advancing the next steps with City Council.
This is going
to
be awesome.
So what do you... Never mind.
Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
Are upset about this or happy about it?
I think
people are happy this team is staying.
So I think generally... The people who are most upset by it are the people who are in the area who feel like their lives are
going to be impacted by it, sure.
Whether you live there or whether you have a business there there were protests. You could go back and forth about who was responsible for those protests, but why I think generally most people are happy they're not going to Jersey,
right.
Which, by the way, may have gotten rid of some of the irritation about not being able to go to South Philly.
Okay.
So, I think maybe some suburban people who like driving to the sports arena complex, like, I don't want to drive downtown, but I really don't want to drive to Jersey. So this is better than Jersey. So maybe it feels better.
Okay.
Coming up next, Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. Mm. We have a new number one, Ike.
And it's intercepted by Ike Reese.
Oh. Could be. You never know. We had to take Ike out of the voting.
I'll tell you, put a positive play up there.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had any in there.
Me either, honestly. I looked at it. I was like, wow, that's a good one.
So that is next.
It's cold.
Thank goodness for Ike Reese.
There you go.
Yeah. Positive one. Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door. I was expecting another one as I was saying this. This is for Jack to prevent me. Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door and get a second at half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com.
Ike Reese and Iron Man.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike.
I'd already turned him down. Yeah, I can't hear it.
He doesn't stop. He doesn't stop.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The eagerly anticipated weekly release of the Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings are coming up momentarily. Been talking about Nick Sirianni and whether he deserves all of the blame he's been getting. I say no. You can't say he doesn't do anything and then blame him for everything. 215-592-9494. Corey in Columbus, you're on WIP.
Yeah, man, Spike. You 100%. You 100%. But Spike, I got to check you on something real quick. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Because, like, Spike, you know, you my man, 50 grand and all.
But you
and Jack sometimes, what y'all try to do is, see, y'all like to, like, put a lot of, like, assumptions, you know, innuendo out in the, you know, atmosphere when you're talking to Baldy. See, I see what you were trying to get at. You was like, oh, you know, when you throw in the middle of the field, you know, usually that comes from playing under center.
No, like, that's not what I said. I said, if you're going to check me, I'm going to check you.
I checked, sir.
Okay, so he said, I'm afraid I'm right on this one. He said they should utilize play action more often. And I said play action is more effective when the quarterback is under center.
Correct.
And he has not been under center. We all know that when they do the play action from shotgun, it just doesn't work the same way because they're,
right.
So yes, they have used pistol more often, but I would tell you that him being under center would give them more opportunity for play action to be more effective.
All right, and here's my rebuttal. On Butterfinger drop, Jalen was under center, rolled out like play action, and hit Butterfinger, Penn State player in the hand. He dropped it like it's hot butter.
Okay.
About Saquon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
When he threw the pass.
Oh, now we ripping Saquon?
Yeah.
Listen, when he threw the pass to Saquon, he was under center.
Yes.
He rolled
okay.
out and he hit him.
Okay.
Yeah. So And this is my
okay, but he's been under
right.
center. I'm not even criticizing. I'm just being honest. He's been under center in two games. They've had 60 plays a game, and not counting tush push, he's been under center like five times. So yes, if you want to run play action more often, more effectively, he's going to have to be under center more. He's not comfortable being under center. I think that's obvious, at least at this point. It's just reality. I'm not even criticizing.
But what I'm saying is, when you look at the NFL across the league, like, nobody runs plays under center. It ain't just – it's the whole league. So it's like, I be seeing all these creative offensive coordinators running play action and stuff with all these different formations. Our formations still look the same like they did last year. Like, that little motion that we doing, like, that ain't nothing. That ain't fooling nobody. Like,
so why do you think
– why aren't we doing these things then?
Because it's a complete different guy.
He's a bum. I don't know.
But hazard a guess. Put a guess out there.
We had the whole expose where Jalen said he wanted to throw the ball over in the middle of the field more. So it ain't him saying, I don't want to do it.
So he said one thing. So are we expected to believe that both Kellen Moore and Brian Johnson, who are completely different people who have never worked together. Kellen Moore, who has been offensive coordinator for several years in this league and had at least enough success.
And to be fair, Dak and Justin Herbert were under center a lot with Kellen Moore.
Yeah, and wait, and Jalen Hurts is not. So I'm asking you, just to be fair, Mr. Jordan, why do you think you're seeing so many of the same things that you don't want to see?
I honestly don't know. Designs dumb to begin with.
What's
My
that?
Bad, y'all got me. The play designs be dumb to begin with.
Okay.
First of all, people sit up here. This is what y'all do. Y'all take one thing to hold on it. I'm not even defending Jalen. The whole team is garbage. All these dudes. Like, we saw a bunch of trash out there on the field. Nobody was good.
I agree with you. I asked Brian Baldinger one question about being under center, and you're crying because I dared criticize.
I'm crying?
Yes.
What are you talking about? I've been criticizing the mofo for the past 2 weeks. What are you talking about?
Dude, you criticize him until someone notices that you're criticizing him, and then you put your cape on and stand in front of him like Kevin Costner with Whitney Houston and The Bodyguard.
It's a good movie.
You said that said he didn't throw no pass from under center. The most notable play in the game was under center.
No, I didn't say he didn't play nothing under center. I said I could not remember. Corey, true or false, he is rarely under center.
That's true.
Okay, second thing, true or false, play action is more effective if the quarterback is under center.
It's true.
Okay, so we know both those things. Why do we think he's not under center?
What I'm saying is, because you love to
just say it.
People and don't
say
let
it.
People get
he can't
out.
Do it. He can't do it.
See,
just
do.
Say it, Corey. He can't do it. He cannot operate under center, and he will not throw the ball across the middle of the field. Just say it.
Everything, and you don't. Let people get their point across and then debate.
You just talked for 2 minutes and it was all wrong.
The whole damn time.
It was wrong, Corey.
You've been talking. Man, whatever, dog. All right. You right. You know everything. Just forget it. You got it, dog.
No, Corey, what is your point? You said I was trying to criticize him by asking Brian Baldinger why they're not under center more. So I'm asking you for the 10th time. Kellen Moore puts his quarterback under center. He has done it several times before. We all agree that Saquon Barkley is the most used weapon on the team, and play action would work more effectively if he was under center. So for the 10th time, why is Jalen Hurts not under center?
You asking me. What I am telling you, like I tried to say until you kept talking for 7 hours, was the two plays.
I'm the host.
When Saquon, but you asking me the question. You the host.
So answer me. Why?
I'm telling you. Damn. When the two plays, when Saquon almost got the touchdown, but they caught him short, right? And then on the drop, that was two rollouts from under center. What I'm saying is, why aren't they developing more things off of that play? That's what I've been trying to say.
Developing more things. It was a success. What do you want them to develop? You know, sometimes a quarterback in the NFL has to take the snap, drop back, and throw the ball. Kirk Cousins did it for an entire game. Sometimes you can't just run to the outside. We all have this, as long as I've lived in this city, everybody's like, why don't you just call more bootlegs and run them out to the side? That's all I hear over and over and over again. Sometimes you need to drop back, step up in the pocket, and throw the football. And he is not that good at it. It's just a fact. He's good at some things. He's not good at other things. The reason he's not under center more, because you refuse to answer the question, is because he is not good at it. That's why. Kellen Moore is not stupid. He is trying to work with what he has. I wasn't even attacking Jalen Hurts with that question. I just asked a question of Baldinger. Isn't it more effective if the quarterback is under center?
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah. Jack, you got anything?
I'm like exasperated. You can't even.
Well, it's only week two.
I have not been unfair to Hurts at all in these 2 weeks of the season. I understand that Corey or whoever of the Jalen Hurts Defenders Club are mad that I don't think he's a top five quarterback in the NFL. Fine. But I have not been unfair. I didn't criticize him at all yesterday, really, except for the list of the five things that happened that I thought, you know, cost them the game. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say. Can I not ask questions about him? Is it really we're really just in this world where we think the coordinators all have meetings, secret meetings, offensive coordinators are like, you know, if any of us get the job in Philadelphia, we have to make sure we do not put Jalen Hurts under center and give him a chance to succeed. That it couldn't possibly be that Jalen Hurts is uncomfortable being under center.
Okay, so let me try to unpack some of this. Some of it got lost in all the emotion you two were displaying and me just eating popcorn listening to it. I think initially when Corey called up, he was poking at you that you tried to sort of subtly hint at Baldy or imply that Jalen isn't good at playing under center.
Well, I actually wanted his opinion of why that is.
Yes, you wanted an explanation. I don't think Corey was initially as offended, but then again, once you two got going, then it becomes, I don't want to back down, let me speak, you're talking, you're tired of hearing excuses. So I think it kind of got lost in translation. You two are actually pretty good. Corey likes you, you like Corey.
I love Corey.
Let's not allow Jalen being under center or not to just send everybody off into Mars.
Here's what I would say about me and Corey arguing there.
Yes.
You and I have argued. Jack and I have argued.
Yes.
We're all good. I have no problems with Corey, aside from the fact that he is with the Protectors Club.
Yes. See, that's your thing.
Yes.
The defenders are going to drive you crazy.
They are.
They're going to drive you crazy now.
They're driving me crazy.
And like Jack said, it's only week two.
Well.
Wait till this thing gets.
This season's going to be over by week seven anyway.
Well, and they'll still be defending.
Yes.
Fly, Eagles, fly.
That's when it's really going to drive you crazy.
Hold on. Before, Corey, I just want to tell you I love you.
Nah, man, we cool. I was calling to tell you that you was right about the Sirianni thing.
Okay.
The players and the coaches. Do need more. I'm not saying, I'm talking about the coordinators. You was right about that. I said was 100%. I was just saying on the play action play, he was under center. Why don't they, like, and I know I've been on the phone for a while, you got to get to the thing, but like, why don't they, like, when he roll out like that, why can't Goddard speak, like, why can't Goddard do like a little out route? Why is it just on that play, they can't do it? They can do under center, but they can't do it something else. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think it's a fair question, Corey, and I think what Spike is trying to say, part of why they probably can't do it is Jalen isn't comfortable doing it. It doesn't mean he can't do it at all. It just may mean the package, pause, that they would have to put together with him being under center isn't as extensive.
Well, it's only year five.
Also, I would assume that...
What do you want me to do, man? A lot of these guys grow up playing quarterback out of the shotgun.
Well,
I don't know.
They, and by the way, they like they need to be able to do more things than a couple of different things under center, or the other team's going to know he's under center.
This is what he does.
Here's what they're going to do.
You become predictable. Which no, you're exactly right.
And it was miraculous that play even worked, by the way. I can't even believe it. I will play that play in my head.
Which one?
The Saquon dropping the friggin' ball.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, just add this to that Saquon play that hasn't been discussed. It, as an option on that play, if Saquon is covered on that play, Jalen is keeping the ball
and just dropping,
goes down,
right?
Clock still runs.
Yes.
That's the option he has on that play if it's covered. So it just the funny thing is, had he been covered, then we would have never got the drop.
Right, right. And it was a perfect throw.
And he was open.
Yep.
But why, hold on, but why if, all right, my question is, and again, this is me not being an offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
So I was of the mindset of I would have ran the ball.
Yeah.
If it's junked up in the middle, why couldn't they have tried again, like a toss to the outside, if they're worried about that to keep the clock running?
Well, he can fumble a toss, too.
Well, he can fumble a toss, but which is more likely, a drop pass or a bad throw with a blitz coming in your face or fumbling the football?
It wasn't a bad throw.
I know it wasn't a bad throw, but we're talking about hypotheticals.
Here's what they're thinking. They're thinking, go win the game, right? It's not – now, we can say you disagree with the thinking of it, right? That they should be trying to run the clock down more. That clearly wasn't their number one priority of running time off the clock. They were looking at running a play that wouldn't even allow Atlanta to get the ball back again. So, but again, I understand if people want to say you should have ran it twice. I totally get it. I'm just saying when they called that play, they actually called the right play. They just didn't execute it. And it's ironic that if Saquon was covered, we would have gotten the result that people wanted, except he still wouldn't have gone for it on fourth down. They still would have kicked the field goal.
Right, and everything, they just would have had 30 less seconds.
Just had 30 less seconds on the clock, yes.
All right. Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings are brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
As mentioned, we have a new number one on the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. I'll just get right to it.
Get right to it.
All five of them are Corey from Columbus.
Nah.
Number five. Still without a scoop in months. Howard Eskin.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Got to drop him out. If he's on the list next week, man.
Well, he did promise to ask Bill Belichick about cheating, which
there's no way.
This is the long
game.
This
is the long game with Spike. Yes. Yeah, definitely. I see it.
Yep. Number four. It's because we never got the Carson Wentz thing we always talked about. I have to set this one up.
Yes.
Number four. He did get a scoop this week. He fed it to Jack that A.J. Brown would not be playing. Still at the number four spot, Chris from Middleton.
Maybe the new insider of the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here's my question for Chris from Middleton.
Yeah.
I don't want these scoops sneaking their way onto the midday show.
No.
If you're going to, if you want to be a part of Insider of the Year, they have to be, you can call a midday show. You can bring your content to that show. But exclusive Chris from Middleton reports need to be on this show to count for Insider of the Year.
Absolutely. I won't count them if they're on. If we're going to give him special dispensation and say you can just text it to Jack or whatever, well, I believe we've gone arms wide open. Shout out Creed to Chris from Middletown.
Yeah,
and it's fine if you want to keep your midday show status, but the scoops can't go on the midday show.
Wow.
They have to go on the afternoon show.
How about that?
Yeah. Yep,
I like it.
Number three, staying static as he has not given us any new scoops, even though we've given him ample opportunity. Ike Reese.
Damn. Hold on, did I drop?
No.
No, you were at three.
I was at three last week? Yeah. I thought I was at two.
Now, you're trying to get credit for... You said something in the first hour of Chris Middleton that I want to know if I need to write down for the entire of the year, but I guess we'll get there.
What'd you say? What did I say?
I forget. There's one with Cooper. You want Cooper to start.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a movement, though. I don't know if that's a
report. How about
report.
Randy Gregory?
Oh, wow.
Signed as a defensive end.
Okay. That would count. If they sign Randy Gregory, that's inside of the year points.
But he has to say... That he believes that they will.
Okay. I'm not there yet.
Okay, all right.
I'm not there yet.
There's a difference between what you want them to do and what you think they will do, and those are two different things.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just trying to...
Listen.
Informed speculation is a slippery slope, and I'm just trying to...
I'm not arguing with the committee anymore. Okay. I'm out.
All right.
I'm out. I'm play by the rules. I'll just go.
Okay. Now, you might... Here's a shocking turn. Last week's number one did have a big scoop yesterday. The newspaper reporter reports that Jalen Carter did not play in the first series because of a punishment from the team because he was late to something. But he slides down to number two.
Wow.
The newspaper reporter.
Because he won't tell anyone why.
Yeah.
Or why he was late?
Yes. Yeah. Or what he was late to.
Well,
I'm just trying.
That's a little much.
Well, with the committee. The committee.
Yeah.
Stern. More details.
Stern, but fair. Also, anyone could have predicted, like, obviously, why he didn't play in the first quarter. You know?
So,
well, the first drive.
He must have been late to something.
Yeah, they just forgot.
Yeah. So, he was tea leaf reading.
They forgot to work Jalen Carter into the mix. Like, how is that? Can we tell it's a real report?
So, you might ask yourself, how does Elliot Shore Parks make it to number one of Eagles Insider of the Year?
Exactly. How?
Because he's a crybaby.
Oh.
And he has spent the last several weeks whining about what he should get credit for, and how is Chris from Middletown getting credit, and how is the newspaper reporter so high, and we need a better workplace around here. You know, I'm all about culture. So you have to give the big baby his ranking, and he doesn't have to earn it.
Wow.
And he can just go to Brazil and shoot videos on vacation.
Wears soccer shirts.
Wears soccer shirt, wears the linen suit to the game, even though it's after Labor Day. And he can be number one. There you go. Please, could you give me the violin?
I mean, wow.
So congratulations. Elliot Shore Parks, you have earned it by being the squeaky wheel.
See?
Getting greased all the way up to number one.
And this is why. Whoa. This is exactly why I said I'm going to stop complaining.
Because the committee factors in the complaint?
Yeah.
You know?
And it feels like I've been kicked off the committee. I just want y'all to know that.
Well, you're in the ranking.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I want you to know it feels like I've been kicked off the committee.
You're number three.
Yeah, no, but he's
not. I'm just saying. It
he's not a part
feel
of rankings.
Like I'm a part of the voting process anymore, is all I'm saying.
Well, the committee will take your
under
work.
Consideration.
Yeah. So, congratulations to little baby Elliot Shore Parks, who's number one in the Eagles power rankings.
Won't last long, buddy.
The Twitter question.
You are one Randy Gregory away from number one status.
The Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's is designing the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Has the criticism of Nick Sirianni this week been more fair or unfair? 63% fair, 37% unfair.
Now, here's my question on last thing on Inside of the Year. And I am aware of the time. There was a big retirement earlier today from Woj.
Yes.
Is he trying to get in Insider of the Year? He finally won some competition.
Do you think that's why he retired from the NBA to become a local Eagles insider?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. You never know. He can be now he's going to be the general manager of the St. Bonaventure basketball team.
What does that mean?
Well, because they're all those players get money.
Yeah, everything is NIL now. Yeah, you do need a general manager.
Yeah. So he's going to be, instead of taking, taking information from agents, he's going to be taking money for children. So
nice.
Congratulations, Woj.
Taking money for children.
I don't sell drugs to children.
There it is. So, Jack, what do we have to look forward to next on the top 5 of 5?
Situations, and multiple situations, that every single guy goes through.
Don't worry, Jack. It happens.
That is so vague.
It happens to everyone, man.
I have no idea what that is.
Just get the blue chew.
Oh, yeah, no.
About to say, we're doing Shannon Sharp around here? Just hawking stuff?
Well, no, the Talk to a Girl got a podcast.
Yeah, she did get a podcast.
Oh, she got a podcast, too?
You know what it's called?
No, but
it's a great name.
What is it?
Talk to a?
Talk Tua.
Yeah. It's a good name, man.
She's got to get Tua on.
Yeah. Oh, what's it? Oh, Tua.
Tua's resting.
Yeah, he's
Tua's. Where am I?
He's resting right now.
So coming up next is everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show, the Top 5 at 5. Today's show is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Buy a window or door to get the second and a half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window at 877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.